Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'd like to read from the book of Isaiah just a few verses that help us today, the book of Isaiah, and it's chapter 28. Chapter 28 of the book of Isaiah, and here we have a warning given by God to the wayward, sinful people of Israel. God is telling them that judgment will follow their sin. And I want you to see how he describes the judgment, the picture he uses to illustrate the judgment that is coming. Chapter 28, the verse 14 of Isaiah. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death. We have an agreement with death. And with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste, or be in confusion. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled or cancelled out, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. We'll end the reading there, then turn back in your Bible to Matthew chapter 7, and to the parable that we have been looking at. We have read the verses 24 through to the end of the chapter 7 of Matthew a number of times, and it relates to us the wonderful story that the Savior is setting forth in this parable. The two men building houses for themselves, they recognized they needed a house, each of them recognized that, but one of them built on the rock and the other built on the sand, and that made the great difference. Because you see, a storm came. And boys and girls, let me tell you that in life there are many storms for us to face. We don't know what this day will bring. We don't know whether or not we may face a storm today. Now, I'm not talking about the weather out there. It's very true, we really don't know what will happen today regarding the weather. Oh, the forecasters have told us that we'll have a reasonably calm day, but can you trust them? No, I'm talking about the storms that come upon everyone in life, the troubles that can descend upon us totally without notice, without any indication, and it can break upon us. And it can sweep us away if we have not that in our life which sustains us and helps us in the time of storm. Now, as I say, I can't emphasize enough that in life there are many, many storms. The Bible warns us of this matter, as no other voice can warn us. You can believe the Bible. You can question others when they speak to you, when they impart to you what they claim is truth. You can wonder, but you don't wonder at what the Bible says. It is absolutely true. And generation after generation after generation of mankind have found it to be so. The story is told in Mark chapter 4, verse 37, of the disciples stepping into the boat to cross the Sea of Galilee. Not a very big sea. In fact, I would say that it's very like Loch Earn in places. You know, the broad loch we talk about, where there's a couple of mile of water between each shore. Well, Galilee's a bit like that, not a big sea. And when they stepped in, everything was nice and calm. They wouldn't have launched their boat if there was a storm. nor was there any indication that a storm was coming. And they stepped in, we read in Mark chapter 4, and the verse 37 says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full of water, and very close to sinking." Now I want to say to each one of you here today that see you, that can happen to you. Storms come upon the Christian as well as the one who's not saved. Maybe we can sort of think that if you're not saved, well, you can expect trouble. But if you are saved, well, everything will be rosy. No, no, no. These men were God's servants. They launched the boat at God's command. This was a journey under the direction of the Lord Jesus. He was in the boat as well. And yet a storm came. And I want to say to you, young folk who are saved, storms can come in your life. Storms can come in your life. Paul the Apostle said this, Acts chapter 14, the verse 22. Or it's perhaps better to say that it's recorded concerning Paul as he visited some churches, some Christians, on his missionary enterprise. It says that he went about confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And then he says this, "And that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." It's interesting, he's addressing the disciples. He's seeking to confirm their souls. He's seeking to exhort them to continue in the faith. And then the grammar changes a little, for it says, "We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." He's addressing disciples, and then suddenly he refers to himself as well as them and says, "We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." There's going to be storms as we journey toward heaven, and all of us will encounter them. Well, we know enough about the story of Paul's life to know that, yes, that wonderful man of God who enjoyed so much of God's power and blessing and grace and help had many storms to encounter. Many storms. Storms of opposition from the ungodly. Storms of opposition from those who were Christians. Difficulties in the churches. He said he even fought with wild beasts in a Roman arena. Oh, Paul had many storms. And it's a wonderful illustration of the fact, boys and girls, that in life we will have to face many storms. And I'm saying that to you who are saved. But let me tell you, if you're saved, you're like the disciples in the boat. Yes, a storm came. Yes, the boat was in danger of sinking. It was nearly full of water. But the Lord was there, and they were able to turn to the Lord in their trouble and say, "Lord, save us, we perish, and so may you." Don't ever forget to do that. Sometimes Christians do, you know. When trouble comes, they panic, and they run here and they run there, and they're all over the place. And they forget to ask the Lord for his help, and they put themselves under great stress by not simply saying, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." And sometimes, like the disciples in this instance, even when they apply to the Lord for help, they do so in a not very nice fashion. The disciples chided with the Lord. They were cross with the Lord. They implied that he didn't seem to care about them. And of course, that was not the case. Faith doesn't panic. Faith doesn't get stressed. But faith calmly turns to the Lord in the midst of the greatest storm and says, "Lord, help us. We're in danger of perishing. Help us." Please don't ever forget, when the storm comes, to calmly turn to the Lord and say, "Lord, help me. Help me. Help me." How welcome will be your prayer request in the ears of God. How happy he will be to help you. So let's remember, those of you who are saved, that life's full of storms. You see, this world is not a friend to grace. You know that. You've heard that. It's part of a hymn. We're in enemy territory in this world. This is a world that worships the devil. He's called the God of this world. And his views, his notions, his teaching, his doctrines are what men follow, generally speaking. Governments follow his teaching. Kings, queens, presidents follow the teachings of the devil, generally speaking. So for you and I who love the Lord and who want to live as he teaches, we're out of step with the world. And we're going to encounter its opposition, its disapproval, and worse, its fury and its wrath. And there will be storms come upon us from the world. There can be no other way. But in such times as this, boys and girls, we're on the rock. We have the Savior to turn to, and we can expect his upholding, delivering grace to be supplied to us. But what about those who are not saved? Here in the parable, you see, there are those who hear the word, obey the word, and build their house upon a rock. Then there are those who hear but don't believe, don't obey what the Lord says. And they ignore his counsel, his advice, his directions, and they build themselves a house on the sand. Now to you, I say this, if you're not saved, when the storm comes, what's going to be the outcome for you? When the troubles of this life come along, you'll not have anyone to help you. You're on your own. You're on your own. The Lord's not in your boat in the midst of the storm. You can't turn to him. He's not there. Because you've rejected him. You've rejected his word. You're on your own in the midst of life's troubles. Recognize that today. If you're not saved, sitting here in this school assembly, you're on your own. The Lord's not with you. Oh, maybe behind you, there's a pupil who is saved. And although you can't see the Lord, he's there with that pupil. But you're on your own. You're on your own. But the storms of life are bad enough. And to be on your own in the midst of the storms of life, that's bad enough. But what about the storm that's coming at the end of life? We read about it in Isaiah. At least a picture of it. Set forth in Isaiah, when God will come in judgment. In the verse 17 of Isaiah 28, we read, "Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place." See, he's talking to a people who didn't believe his word, who didn't heed the gospel. And they said, "We will make our own refuge." Like the man who built his house upon the sand. "I don't need the rock. I'll build my own house on my own foundation." That's how it is with you today. You're not saved. Why are you not saved? Why are you not saved today? Because you have said, "I don't believe God. I don't need the Lord Jesus. I'll make it on my own. I'll make it on my own. I'll have my own hiding place when the storm comes, and I'll be all right." But God, in mercy to you, and here is mercy, boys and girls. He says to you, "Look, here's what's going to happen when my judgment comes." He doesn't have to tell you that. He doesn't have to warn you, but he does. You've defied him, you've rejected his word, and yet God in kindness comes and he says, "Look, here's what's going to happen as a result of you rejecting my word." That's kindness. God's kind to you today, even though you have turned your back on him, even though you have said, "I don't believe you." God persists in his mercy, and he says to you, "The hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place that you have chosen, the false refuge, the foundation of sand." God says the judgment's going to wipe it all away. Will you heed the Lord today? Will you heed the Lord today? Oh, storms came on the man who built his house on the rock, as well as the man who built his house on the sand. Storms and troubles and difficulties and tribulation are the lot of all of us. But for those who have trusted Christ, there's deliverance in the midst of the storm. For those of you who have not trusted Christ, you're on your own. You're standing on sand, and it will dissolve, and you'll be lost. You'll be lost. Will you heed God's word today? Storm's coming. Seek refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts today. Let's bow in prayer, please. Let's just ask God to speak to us and apply His word. Lord Jesus, no voice of man can arouse the soul. No matter how a preacher may present the truth, nothing can come of it if Thou dost not work. Lord, give an entrance into hearts today. We do pray for those who are not saved, who have chosen to turn their back on Thee. God, have mercy on them. Deliver them, Lord, from being deceived, and may they hasten to Christ. O God, have mercy on them. Bless Your word to us all. Bless our school today. We commit it into Your hands now. Teachers, pupils, oh, look down upon us, and may we know Your grace in our midst. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.